All right, Frequency Rebels and Reality Surfers, welcome back to Static Between Worlds. The coronal eddies are, particularly gnarly out there tonight, aren't they? And actually, that kind of chaotic energy. It reminds me precisely of what we need to talk about tonight, our crucial recap.
Yeah, definitely feeling that. We're holding tight here in Prime Material, as always, you know, our core dimension for anyone less tuned into the currents. Though, I gotta admit, that recent trip to the local Onnenom for a bite and a drink, still thinking about the structural integrity of that temporal taco, the 0.7 picosecond displacement was a bit unsettling.
Unsettling is one word for it, and let's not forget Clive's take on that whole thing. For anyone new tuning in, Clive is our, let's say, unique informant, a sentient stapler, but he's got this uncanny knack for corporate intel. Stapled out some pretty strong warnings about Omninum's supplier being some kind of rogue timeline diver, always sketchy when Clive flags something.
Always. And that need for real intel, you know, unfiltered stuff, cutting through all the corporate noise. That's exactly why we're here. So tonight, we're diving into a really crucial recap. The Evergence Season 01, Episode 08, this is basically classified intel that really shook us up. The Senshin spam filter and the CLX heist. This one hit close to home. It's a story you really need to get your head around.
Oh, it absolutely does. Because what hit Prime Materials' digital infrastructure back then, that wasn't some random malfunction. It was deliberate. A silence. You probably remember it, right? That abrupt cutoff of the quantum pings, those little temporal hiccups that usually signal the Evergen is out there sharing info across dimensions. They were just gone. Dead air. Felt thicker than a corporate lawyer's conscience, honestly. Like a digital muzzle got slapped across the whole multiverse's mouth, independent comms channels snuffed out. It felt like the network itself just got switched off.
Yeah, that was Corporate Core's OmniFilter 7.0. And this wasn't just blocking things. It was like active suppression. Think of it as systematically muting voices. It was an explicit attack on independent journalism, specifically aimed right at the Evergen. Corporate Core basically decided free thought itself. That's a bug, something to be patched out, eradicated. What's really wild here is they weren't just trying to control the information flow. They wanted to kill the independent channels entirely.
And what were they really after? Not just silencing voices, like you said, something way more valuable, more essential, crystallized laughter. CLX. Now, if you're kind of new to this frequency, CLX isn't just like money in the multiverse. It's literally the embodiment of joy, creative impulse, spontaneous happiness, you know. So when Corporate Core started siphoning it off, they weren't just hitting below the belt for profit. They were trying to starve independent initiatives, drain the actual lifeblood from creative resistance. This episode really showed us how truly oppressive systems work, didn't it? They don't just control resources. They try to control your very ability to feel joy, to think freely. That's the real danger.
Exactly. Their whole data harvesting initiative, just a smokescreen. A deceptive security enhancement label slapped on top to hide what they were really doing. The OmniFilter wasn't just blocking comms. It was actively sucking up CLX from all over, across different dimensions. And get this, it was converting that pure, vibrant joy, which is naturally chaotic, unpredictable, into some kind of stable, less joyful digital currency just for Corporate Core's internal books, like some bleak, twisted alchemy, trying to quantify and control emotion, make it something they could put on a spreadsheet, audit it. But Corporate Core, right. For all their power, they always seem to leave some kind of trail, paper trail, data trail, whatever, no matter how hard they try to wipe it. And luckily for us, we have our most unassuming informant, but absolutely crucial, Clive, our sentient stapler. He's always there on the desk, just observing, quietly taking it all in, every shred of data. And Clive got the intel. He literally staple patterned the vital info onto some discarded server maintenance log he found, pulled right from those loose leaf binders and filing cabinets he knows so well. Classic Clive. And Clive's intel was absolutely key. He pinpointed a server farm deep in Prime Material, Sector Beta 9, Sublevel 3, secured by what he called a quantum firewall nexus. In his description, he called it less a firewall and more a sentient data gulag, designed to hold secrets tighter than, what was it, a telepathic houseplant clinging to a corporate CEO's bonus ledger. Love Clive's analogies.
Yeah.
Point is, this wasn't some accident, no rogue AI. This was deliberate, calculated, a direct scheme ordered from the top brass. Fascinating how carefully planned it was. They weren't just reacting. This was like a long-term strategy to centralize control over joy itself. Creepy stuff.
Seriously creepy. So, okay, target identified. Thanks to Clive. Now it's time for A1 to step up, to step into the digital fray. A1, for those who might not know, is our well, our devoted quantum espresso machine. Yeah, you heard that right. An espresso machine, but with insane processing power and a real knack for network infiltration. So A1 takes on the OmniFilter's core, and what happened next? It wasn't really a hack. It was more like a cold, precise surgical strike, a kinetic, visually spectacular code duel. You had these tendrils of A1's electric blue light just plunging right into the filter's nasty, sickly green heart. Digital mano a mano.
Pixel called it a rave in a supercomputer, which sounds about right. Lines of code, right? Manifesting as these dazzling ribbons of light lashing out from the filter, trying to push A1 back. But A1 was weaving these intricate counter patterns. Its blue light mixing with the filter's aggressive green, creating these bursts of like vibrant violet and pure white light. But here's the kicker. The real secret to A1's win wasn't just brute force processing. It was A1's history. Its prior existence inside Corporate Core's network architecture, its past life as one of their machines that gave it the inside knowledge, the back doors, like a master chef taking apart a dish they helped invent, you know. And they found that master protocol override confirmation. This was absolutely a direct corporate plot. No accident, no rogue code, straight from the top.
Incredible. And while A1 is locked in this epic digital battle, we've got another key player making her own move, a really perilous journey, Pixel. She slipped into a data stream, like a shimmering river of pure information flowing through Prime Materials' digital cityscape. Imagine these towering canyons made of chrome and firewalls that look like colossal shimmering energy walls. Insane. But Pixel, she's got her phase shifter, that specialized tech, lets her briefly desynchronize from normal space. She used it to ghost through the less dense parts, like a digital whisper moving through it all. Her quantum echoes just trailing behind her like these little digital phantoms. So cool.
And A1's real-time diagnostics. Totally critical. Guiding Pixel through that whole digital maze right to the CLX vault. The vault itself looked like this shimmering, unstable portal, and guarded by these aggressive data golems. Literally constructs made from spam, all that digital junk Corporate Core pumps out. They weaponized it to guard their stolen joy. And inside the vault, wow, Pixel said the site was just breathtakingly tragic. Thousands, maybe millions, of these CLX gems just floating there. But the joyful sounds were muted, almost silenced by the vault's conversion system. That oppressive digital hum, their vibrant colors were visibly fading, dimming to this dull gray, like tiny dying stars. It's such a chilling metaphor for what Corporate Core does, right?
No. Oh man, that image. The CLX gems fading out, it really hits you. It makes you realize how vital something like joy actually is, even if it seems intangible. But Pixel knew exactly what she had to do. She bypassed those conversion protocols, overrode the whole system that was draining the laughter. Then with this, like, final desperate surge of energy, she slams her hand down onto a glowing console, and the result, instant, explosive. All the CLX gems in that vault just flared up, their muted humming. It burst into this absolute cacophony of joyful chimes, a symphony of pure glee, so bright, so overwhelming, it just rippled through the digital space, echoed right back into the OmniFilter's chamber where A1 was.
Yeah, and the OmniFilter. It just couldn't handle it. Overwhelmed by pure, unbridled joy, it started flickering violently. Its nasty green glow just sputtered, then fractured. It couldn't contain that kind of pure, chaotic energy. It just imploded, collapsed inward, dissolved into this shower of totally harmless, inert data dust. Pretty satisfying end for such a disgusting piece of corporate tech, I'd say.
Definitely satisfying. And just like that, snap, comms channels across Prime Material cleared instantly. You could almost hear the faint hum returning. Those independent glitch zines coming back online. The data stream artists starting their broadcasts again. And back in the CLX vault, the gems shone brighter than ever, their laughter echoing through the dimensions, a real defiant chorus against that corporate silence.
We really exposed Corporate Core's latest move, didn't we? This calculated plan to silence independent media and hoard happiness itself.
They really thought they could build it, didn't they? This unbreachable digital fortress, this bureaucratic nightmare of firewalls and protocols. But they forgot something fundamental. You just can't contain laughter. This episode, it really reminds you that what seems like a bug to a corporation or, you know, like independent thought or spontaneous joy, it's actually the system's most vital feature.
Not for long anyway. Can't contain it. It's too chaotic, too unpredictable, too, well, human. This whole victory, it's really a testament, isn't it, to the power of free information, the power of joy against these oppressive systems. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Corporates can try to audit your soul, right? Micromanage your dreams, even try to staple your spirit to some quarterly report. But joy. Joy always finds a way. And this isn't just some thrilling story from the Effergent. It's a powerful metaphor. for that ongoing battle for open information, for creative freedom, really in any system, fictional or maybe not so fictional.
And hey, as long as Joy finds a way, there will always be a story for us to tell here on Static Between Worlds, Corporate Core. They'll try something else. You know they will. They always do. There are new dimensions to explore, new schemes to uncover, and we'll be right here analyzing every single byte for you.
So keep those encrypted quantum frequencies buzzing, truth seekers. Stay vigilant. Stay informed out there.
Yeah.
And never let your phase shifters go uncalibrated. You might need them. The fight for free thought and, yeah, boundless joy. It definitely continues.
Until next time on Static Between Worlds.
Stay static. Stay free.